Welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlicks.com. PureFlicks.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on? It's Billy Hollowell, and welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast. I am super excited to be diving in today to another amazing interview. Now, this is somebody you might know very well. She's known as the Queen of Comedy. Her name is Shonda Pierce, and we're having her on the show today, mid-quarantine, to talk about life, chaos, all the things that have gone on really in her life. And she's got a crazy inspirational story. And the one thing that I've always admired about Shonda is that she always comes back to laughter, right? She has faced, like so many of us, challenges, adversity, overcoming the odds, coming back to comedy, and making the rest of us laugh in the process. So with no further ado, I want to welcome Shonda Pierce to the Pure Flicks Podcast today. How's it going today?
You know, it's good. It's good. I think yesterday or day before yesterday, all the days run together.
It's like Groundhog Day.
Exactly. And I love that movie, by the way. Bill Murray starting over and over and over. You know, and the key for that entire movie, I told all my friends, he got out of bed.
Exactly.
I love that. And that's the key to surviving, I think, anything, is just get out of bed. You know, that's the first step. But I think I kind of hit a wall a little bit day before yesterday, and I really had to spend some more time in prayer of going, okay, Lord, tired of this now. You know, yeah. I've worked all my puzzles. I've done all the things that I know that keeps my mind from sinking. And it's hard.
It is hard.
There's no magic cure or magic trick. It is just that, get up and get out of bed.
And sometimes you're like, you know, okay, this is a great day. I'm super excited. You know what? I don't mind being in quarantine. And then there's days where I'm like, is this ever going to end? You know, like, when are we getting out of quarantine? Right.
Exactly. I try to turn my phone off. It's playing.
Oh, you know what?
All of a sudden. And that's a real helpful thing.
It is. It's inspiring, right? You get to have your phone go off, give you a little pep.
That was my Pandora, what was coming through that I had in the bathroom a few minutes ago. See, this is how bad I am with technology. I argue with Siri and Alexa all day long and talk to them all day long. And right now we're not speaking. We're all very angry at each other.
I believe it.
Exactly, because technology is not my strong point. You know, I gave birth to someone who would do that for me, who now happens to live in California. So a lot of good that was. You know?
I mean, I routinely, and I'll admit this, I will say, oh, she's an idiot, you know, to Siri all the time. Because I'm like, especially Alexa, you ask for the calculator. You're like, hey, you know, what's 20 plus 12? And it's like the square root of, and they give you something, or like, you know, zoo animals. Or yeah, it's like, I didn't ask you that.
I thought it was just my accent she hated.
No, she's clueless. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I love trying to stump her, you know. And when she said, I don't know, I go, well, what am I paying you for?
Right, exactly. Oh, man. Well, yeah, this is what I love. You know, I haven't interviewed you in a while. And the thing about your life that I find really interesting is that you always come back to, you've had a very long career. You always come back to laughter and comedy. And like everybody else, you faced a lot of tough things, a lot of ups, a lot of downs.
Right.
And you know, you've been called, and before we get into all that, you've been called the Queen of Clean. And I wanted to ask, what does that mean to you?
I almost wore a crown today. I knew you would bring that up. You know, I don't know. In this world, we need categories. We need the R rating or the PG rate. We need that. You need to know what you're going to get. And somewhere along the way, somebody interviewed me and they said, man, you're just busting it out there. You've got a huge following. You're the queen of this whole clean comedy world, you know, and it stuck. And so it went from Billboard magazine to 25 years later, here I am stuck with the title. I don't mind it, of course, because I am clean. And that, to be honest, has helped my career immensely. I think I have, and I don't know, because I don't know Amy Schumer and I don't know Ellen DeGeneres. I don't know any of them personally. I don't know very many comics personally. You know?
That's really interesting. We'll come back to that.
But I don't know any of them personally. But somewhere along the way, you choose your vernacular.
Sure.
You choose where you're going to line up. And I would like to say I found Jesus early on and I chose to just walk this clean road. The bottom line for me is I found Jesus in the midst of being, I mean, of course, depends on your theology. I got saved 400 times, you know.
Right, right. Because it's a journey.
Finally stuck. Yeah, yeah. It finally really, I really got it finally. And I was already interested in comedy. But the bottom line is no dirty words come out of my mouth.
Right.
Ordinarily. Now, I will stub my toe, and I'm not going to tell you what sometimes I might say something.
We all do that, though. And nobody, people won't admit it, but we all do it.
Get my car, and I might say something, you know. So let me just be, I don't want to be a saint here. But I didn't grow up hearing, the F-bombs. And I didn't grow up with parents that had a double scotch, you know, sitting around the fireplace. I didn't grow up on any of that. And so deep inside of me, I really have to work hard to think of those words.
Right, right.
And so it became very natural for me to be clean. And then when Jesus really captured my heart and my soul and I fell so in love with him, I wanted to do what I do and use it to open a door for people to know him. That's a long answer to say. I never judge any comic out there that has chose to not be clean, because you have to know what their background is, where they came from, what's going on in their eternal value of things. And so my hat is off to anybody that tries comedy, because it's hard. It is not always easy.
It seems really hard. I mean, it doesn't, it seems
oh,
like,
I'm so glad
yeah.
you said that.
No,
yeah.
no. I mean, I think for any, yeah. first of all, getting in front of people, let's start there. And by the way, we can laugh about your phone. I've got a dog here in quarantine who is barking. You're probably hearing him as
oh,
well.
I'm
but
so glad. Thank you. And I have bacon. I just realized it's in the oven. I'm texting somebody right now. Please come get the bacon.
If you need to pause it, do it. Feel free. This is what quarantine is all about. It's about living.
Okay,
but, you
well,
know,
no, I got it.
Being in front of people is a tough thing, right? Getting up and doing anything and then being funny in front of people. And it's
yeah.
hard. That's a hard thing.
Yeah, it's instant gratification or instant failure.
Right, right. Well,
you know immediately if you did it well. You don't have to wait for the song to come to the radio. Yeah.
And how do you deal with it? And this doesn't happen to you very often because you're hilarious, but in the beginning, as you were navigating the waters, I'm sure you had moments.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. I look back at some of my early videos that are gold and platinum. I won't ever watch them again. I think they're just terrible. You know what I mean? My timing is slow. There's no edge to anything that I'm saying. You know, I look back now going, I don't can't believe this thing even sold. What is wrong with people?
Right,
you know?
Right.
But I do appreciate what you're saying. If we make our job look really easy, that means we've done it well.
Yes.
And you do have those smart alecks every now and then to come and go, I think I could do what you do. And I want to go, here you go. Here's my
yeah,
phone.
Good
we'll
luck.
Make 5,000 people laugh without a 2-drink minimum. And right. let's see how well. You'll be having 2 drinks when it's over. You know, it's not easy. What my favorite quote on the planet about my job and about what we do is Lucille Ball. And it should be Jesus. I know, in case anybody's watching, I have quotes from Jesus, but my favorite is Lucille Ball, who says, I am not funny. What I am is brave.
Hey, that's your Twitter. I just followed you on Twitter. Yep. I can't believe I wasn't. Exactly. That is on your Twitter bio.
I don't Twitter very. I don't certainly don't Twitter as much as the president.
He loves Twitter.
He is the king of Twitter.
He loves Twitter. Sometimes I wake up and if I haven't had coffee yet, I go to look at what he's tweeted because I'm like, this will really get me moving today.
First, what Jesus said, and then I look and see what the president said.
And I have to admit, that's what I should do. That's what I should do. Usually I do, but some days I go to Twitter first.
Some days, yeah, we got to see what we got to defend today. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. So, you know, you've always, and this is super interesting to me, too, because you do make it look so easy, comedy. You always have. And, you know, when I look at your career and your life, you're a human being. I mean, we all are, obviously.
Well,
but when
so nice, yeah.
when people look at you, I would assume any celebrity, you look at somebody and you're like, oh, their life is perfect. They have everything they could ever want. But we all face struggles. And you've always been so open about your struggles, you know, through documentaries, through your work, talking about your husband, the things that have gone on. Why have you chosen to be so open?
It's easier for me. I don't have to backtrack about anything in my life. I don't have to hide anything. Now, there are some open wounds or some personal sins that's nobody's business. You know what
sure,
I mean? There,
sure.
I have my limits. But I think if something came out about me in the National Enquirer, I am blessed that I think the majority of my fan base would go, well, that doesn't surprise me.
Right.
But, you know, well, she said she's nuts, you know. So that whole time at Mars with the aliens, that sounds just like her, you know. I like that part of being open and honest and vulnerable. The part I don't like is the shame part of it. And that's something you constantly have to, when you're a very open and honest person, you're always fighting that little mean guy talking in your head. And that is, oh, you shouldn't have told that. Oh, I wish they didn't know that about me. Or I'm going to look like a nut, you know?
Right.
But I decided somewhere along the way, and a lot of it was out of a huge battle of depression. Now, I did use my comedy as an comedy has always been the opening act. I always use the comedy as a way to open people's hearts and to say, isn't it amazing that we got to laugh tonight? And about a week ago, I felt like I had nothing to laugh about. And let me tell you how good the God is that I serve, who brought laughter to me tonight. And that was my way of saying, you know, I had two sisters that passed away before I left high school, my only sisters. I had my parents divorced, which was quite confusing when you grow up a very conservative preacher's kid. My father was bipolar and abusive man. And, you know, and that was always my way to comedy was always my way to introduce reality.
Yeah.
And I liked that. And that was it. I coasted with that for a while. And then I hit the wall. And I hit the wall a lot out of, you know, you never know why depression shows up. It's what doctors say. But you can look back and analyze going, oh, no wonder I hit the wall. I was traveling on a bus for 15 years, bouncing around thinking you're sleeping, but you're really not. You know, I was at this fast pace, you know, building a career, what took people, you know, 25 years to build. In 10 years, I had already had 500,000 people follow me across the country. And so there was a lot of hard work and a lot of too much work.
Yeah.
And a lot of lack of discipline, you know, and getting it while the getting's good and all that mentality that I crashed. That, and I started, you know, in my introduction into menopause, you know, you'll know about that someday when your wife gets there, you know, and just send her away to some beautiful Caribbean island.
Go on a trip and come back. Yeah, call when it's over.
My husband used to say, send them on a cruise and say, come back in 5 years when it's all over. And so, but all that to say, I when I hit the wall, I realized there were segments of my story that had been so stuffed. I had used comedy to glass it over. Or deflect is what my therapist loves to say. Or I used the comedy to hide away instead of. So the little bit that I was purging out there was really just the runoff. It wasn't really getting to the bottom of it all. It wasn't getting to the depth of who I am and what some of these scars had left in my spirit. And so that when I hit the wall and had to purge through some of that, there's a great sense of self that comes on the other side of that. There's a great sense of it's all out there and it's done. And
it's a relief, I would imagine, to a degree.
It is a great relief.
Yeah.
And there are aspects of my past I constantly have to work on, you know, antidepressants is my friend. Woohoo! The Bible and Effexor. Those are the things that get me through, you know. I always say Jesus and my meds. And Jesus lets my meds come first sometimes. He's like, take your medicine so we can talk. You know, you're right. It's a very enlightening time. And that's such a secular term, but it's so true. And when you get really comfortable with that person, I started enjoying my job more than I ever have before.
Because you can be honest. You can be truthful. And not that you weren't before, but there's nothing holding you back.
Ready, right. Yeah. There's nothing holding me back in that I saw the damage that holding back can do. And I never want to get there again. I want to live my life open and honest and real. Now, you know, I don't want to tell everybody, you know, about this horrible date I had Friday night. It was terrible. You know, some details aren't there. You know, okay, forget match.com. That's all
I was going to say. Online dating, you know, how does that go? Yeah,
exactly.
But this is real life.
Social distancing has been the title of my dating life for 4 years. So they think they've really come up with something new.
It's dating quarantine. It's nothing new. Oh my gosh, you are so funny. Well,
somebody asked me the other day, "Are you dating? You know, you've been widowed now almost 6 years." And I go, "I date every time the phone rings. I'm just a floozy. My phone never rings."
And how have you processed through? Because that's one of the biggest things that can happen to you is losing a spouse. And you said it's been 6 years. How has that been for you? The pre versus post, and just kind of moving through that.
But, you know, it's interesting that you ask that. You know, and I just live on what's going on today. Day before yesterday, I had a dream, and I've had the reoccurring dream. Let me get my therapy out while we're here together.
Go for it.
I've had this reoccurring dream in the last week, and I was just telling my assistant who's here visiting with me today. It's like someone's in the house. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's so exciting. But we've been like little schoolgirls, staying up, watching movies, eating popcorn, eating everything. You know,
it's quarantine. But, that's okay.
It is. This is me, ADD. You know that I don't take medicine for ADHD, as you can tell. But you remember when you go to college and it's the freshman 15, they always talk about the freshman 15 pounds you gain.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen for quarantine. It's going to be I have my quarantine 15.
It's the COVID-19.
Yes, I've got it. Everybody deserves to gain 19 pounds before it's back to work. Yeah. But all that to say, my husband. I had this reoccurring dream in the last few weeks that we were getting a divorce. And if you know anything about my story, that's a very possibility. He was a horrible alcoholic near the end of his life. And his drinking was brought on by a lot of things. He was genetically disposed to it because his father was an alcoholic. Everybody, just about everybody in his family was. And so it could have been. And it was interesting that these 6 years later, I woke up with this thought of, thank you, Lord, that we didn't have to walk that road. We may have had to. And so I am 6 years on the other side of losing him. Now, I was married to him for 31 years.
Wow.
He was in my life, you know, more than the time I've had without him.
You met in high school, right?
We did. Yeah. We did. 31 years he was in my life, and he was a wonderful man until that disease just wreaked havoc on his heart, on his thinking, on his physical, you know, being. But all that to say, 6 years later, you begin to find moments of gratitude that they're not here. Now, believe me, would I rather have him back well and healthy and whole? Absolutely. But I don't want back the man that was suffering so badly, physically and emotionally and mentally. He is resting well in heaven. And this quarantine, we'd have driven each other crazy.
I mean, it is another level. It's another level.
The definition of where the divorce came from. Because this quarantine, you know, 31 years of marriage, but I was on the road about 20 of those. Now we know why our marriage was so good.
I mean, I have to ask you one other thing, because we didn't talk about this. When did you talked a little bit about your upbringing. I knew that you were a preacher's kid. Obviously, you talked about your sisters, which is such a horrible thing to have to go through, that kind of loss. Right. When did you realize that you were funny? Like, when did that happen where you were like, I'm actually really funny? And not only am I funny, I can do this as a thing.
Oh, well, doing it as a thing, that came much later. But knowing that I could make someone laugh, that came about how many whoopings I got out of. My mother would just forget what she was, you know, she picked up a hairbrush to swap you, and then she couldn't remember why, because you're making her laugh. You know, that's when I used to say comedy saved my life. Literally, you know, my father was a tough man, but he would actually at church write down who needed to get a whooping when we got home. He would write down on a piece of paper, and I was smart enough to go find that piece of paper, and I would leave like a knock knock joke. You know? I wouldn't even put down my sisters or something. I would leave a knock knock, and he would totally laugh and totally forget, you know, who was supposed to get the whooping. So it was, you know, early on, I was using comedy to get out of a lot of things, but getting paid for it, that was a whole nother world. I got a job. I was a theater arts major in college. I wanted to be an actress. And I thought about it, or a country music singer, because I lived in Nashville. Why not?
Everybody does it in Nashville.
And so, yeah. And I got a job at a theme park called Opryland, which was a, you know, a fun little place in Nashville for many, many, many years. And they had their thing about that theme park was not about the roller coasters and the rides or Mickey Mouse. It was about different shows and music and all types of music. And so you audition and you have to learn to sing and dance and, you know, and read a few lines. And I auditioned. The first year I auditioned, I didn't make it. I made it all the way to the callback. You know, I mean, it was like American Idol before there was an American Idol. You make it back to the next round. And then the last round, I didn't make it. And I was so depressed about that. And I asked my director the next year when I did make it, why? And he goes, you were so skinny. And I want you to know, that was the last time anybody. I saw him not long ago and I looked, look, doing good now. Yeah. But I finally got on there and they put me in a show that gave the history of country music. Now, I came from a very, you know, almost legalistic background in church, and dancing will send you to hell. And when they tried to teach me to dance, I don't know if that fear of hell was in there or I just have two left feet. It just didn't work, you know. And I, once in a while, when I work on the Opry nowadays, I perform on the Grand Ole Opry often, and I always see an old colleague or an old director or somebody I knew in that world, and they're always going, did you ever learn to dance? Yeah. You know, 40 years later, nope, still don't dance. But I got put in a show that gave the history of country music, which I knew nothing really about, even though I grew up in Nashville. My folks didn't let me listen to the, you know, to rock and roll music. I hid a radio under my bed for years, you know.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just, you know, I was the closet. Of course, I wasn't sneaking to listen to Hank Williams. I wanted to hear Earth, Wind, and Fire because I thought, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire is in the Bible. And so there's got to be something spiritual in there. But all that, you know, remember September. So all that to say, I know you're going to edit this because this is such a wacky conversation.
You know what? I love that. This is a real conversation. I very rarely, I'm like, you know what? Just put it out there. My dog's barking. Yeah, you got to go with it. You got to go with it.
Oh, that makes me feel better. But I got this job. And one day during rehearsals, my boss handed me 3 or 4 pages of jokes from Grinder Switch, Tennessee. And he said, there's a big dance number in the show, and you'll miss it if you do the part of Minnie Pearl, because there's just no way we're going to be able to teach you. We have tried, you know, it was terrible. And I got the job impersonating Minnie Pearl really to save my job, you know, I mean, because I couldn't.
You weren't going to get the dancing. It wasn't going to happen for you.
And I felt this desperation. I got to do this really good, or they'll find another kid to do it. You know, I was 23 years old, and so I did it, and I wound up doing that for 6 years. I impersonated Minnie Pearl. I got to meet her, Sarah Cannon, like a lot of young people did, and I was working on a special event. You know, our show was hired to perform for some insurance company coming through, or whatever, and. And she was backstage, and I would go out and go, howdy, and she would skip up behind me and go, well, who are you? And the crowd would be so excited. It's just a build up, you know, for the real thing. And I remember one day she said to me, you know, do you like this? Because your sense of timing is good. And I said, yeah, I do. And she said, we had shared a dressing room all day. And she said, I want you to know, you'll never really know the gift that laughter is until you make peace with God. And I was like, my mother told you to say that. I was so away from the Lord. I look back at that. I must have been a loudmouth, bitter, sarcastic young girl, you know, that was just trying to be the life of the party, but had no life in her, you know? Yeah. And so I'll never forget that. And I really felt like my mother's prayers are just getting on my nerves, you know, because I wanted to do my own thing. And I would once in a while sneak in a story about a funny preacher's kid story or something that happened to me as a kid, or I'd write one. And they'd say, oh, that's really funny, but it didn't happen in Grinder Switch. If you tell it again, you're going to get fired. And when Jesus captured my heart, Yeah, I left that job. I left thinking, you know, my thought of what it looked like to serve Jesus was to go back to that little tiny church, no dancing, you know, no crazy music, you know, and that was what I thought it was supposed to look like. And I remember the Lord was so faithful. I told my husband I found Jesus in the bathroom. He's like, oh, is that where he's been? And I gave him, I knelt at the throne. And I said, I have to quit my job. I wasn't strong enough, I don't think, to be in an environment of entertainment.
Yeah.
And back in those days, good Lord, the entertainment, you just all shack up in one room and, run around, and it's who you party with that'll listen to songs or give you the next big break, you know, and that's kind of where I was looking for that next big break. And I have to quit my job. I knew that I wasn't spiritually strong enough to stay in that environment and grow in Jesus where I knew in my heart I needed to be.
That's a big decision to make.
It was for us. We had a baby and we needed two paychecks to make, you know, we were poor. I'll never forget my husband going, that's really great. You know, I gave my life to Jesus. That's really great. And I quit my job. He's like, did Jesus tell you to quit your job? We have a mortgage, you know. But he was so kind. He goes, you know, I can get, you know, get a second job, or we'll make do somehow. And it wasn't a week later that this little tiny church called needed a church secretary. I went from performing, you know, shows in front of thousands of people to being a little church secretary in a church that ran about 45 people.
Was that hard? And, was that a hard thing to do internally?
I immediately signed myself up to sing the special at church.
Make sure there's still some performing going on. Yeah.
Then I started writing plays for the little youth group, and that little church started growing. You know, I still had that drive, you know, that my mother, good Lord, even when I was little, she would take me to auditions at 4 and 5. My first major role was Gracie Sheehan in The Music Man in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at the community theater. You know, she knew that was me, and she would always try to help me find a healthy outlet.
Yeah.
And so I was right back at that, trying to find the healthy outlet. And the funniest thing that there was a Valentine banquet or something, and we put all our dollars together to hire somebody, and the last minute they couldn't come. I don't know if it was a quartet or whatever, but they couldn't come. And my pastor said, do you still have a mini pearl dress? Can you throw that on and do some jokes? You know, we sold $20 spaghetti plate tickets. We got to have something.
Oh, wow.
Know? Yeah.
You had to make sure you could do it. You could get people entertained.
I was the opening act for Spaghetti Dinner, honey. That's tough. And so I did it. And, it's so funny because then somebody's cousin is a pastor in Arkansas, and she told him about it. And I know it sounds impossible, but within 6 months, my phone was so busy. I quit my job. We got a different church secretary, and my pastor and the church secretary helped fill my schedule constantly. It just blew up. You know, and I would do my mini pearl thing, and I would take my hat off, and I would say, you know, isn't it interesting that God gave me a job 5 times a day, 6 days a week, where I had to make people laugh. And in the middle of that was healing taking place. You know, the healing of laughter is amazing. I that's why, you know, you and I earlier were talking about how the change of the media and all that's going to change. The internet's going to change.
Oh, yeah.
Muslim's going to change. When the sitcom arose to be very popular, it was during the Vietnam War. It was, the entertainment shows were huge. You know, that Johnny Carson, his ratings was high as it ever has been, always during wartime or difficult time or during the Depression or during the tough times. People are drawn to find something cheerful or to cheer them up. And so, you know, I don't know. My job's over for a while. So,
well, although. Although, hold on, I got to stop because I want to hear about the quarantine comics and this.
Oh.
Yeah. So let's tell me a little bit about that decision to kind of get in your living room and do it.
Well, we were all still we were completely all out of work. What are you doing Friday night? Nothing. What are you doing Friday? Well, come on over. This is before we had to stay at home.
Yeah.
We weren't breaking the law. You know, so there's just some of us that all live here close together. Bone Hampton, Jeff Allen, who's extremely wonderful.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Oh, he's just, he is an impeccable. He is the 1-2 punch stand-up comic, you know, the just a great club comic. I'm a storyteller, you know. But anyway, and I see Ken Davis and then Gary Chapman, who's a singer-songwriter who used to host a show on National Network and all that. But he's just funny. Well, you know, we need one straight man in the room with that many comics. And so he came over and we all just, you know, sat on the couch, had no idea what I was doing. Oh my Lord. We set the laptop on the hearth of the whatever that is over the fireplace. Yeah, the mantle. We set it up on the mantle. We sat back here in this kitchen. It looked terrible. The sound was terrible. Had no idea what we're doing. Like 60,000 people later, you know, we're like, what? Okay, let's do it again. Who knows? And so the rest of them, then we had to stay at home. We weren't allowed to get together. As we speak, I've been working for 2 days trying to figure out how to do this.
Yeah.
I could be on Facebook. And say, I am not coordinated. I'm
Zoom. You could use Zoom. Zoom is a good tool.
I know. I looked at that one too. I just want to push a button.
That's just all. You just want to. And so you could all pop up like the Brady Bunch and do your thing.
Exactly right. You know how hard it was for you to track me down on Skype? You know what it was? I didn't have the, I had it on. I'm like, well, no one's calling me. And then over there, there's a little thing that says, go online. I go, I bet he might need me to be online. And I'm pushing buttons.
Well, you know, I think it's great that you guys are looking for ways to be there kind of entertaining people through this. And, you know, everything.
Well, don't get me wrong. We're entertaining ourselves.
Of course you are. It's selfish in part, but that's okay because you're offering it to other people as well.
Yeah, exactly. And we're all terrified. You know, this is what people don't realize. I, you know, at first you're jumping in. Now I am not the status of, you know, the Amy Grants and the Kirk Franklins and of the world. I don't, you know, we comics, we don't get a royalty, you know, so if we don't work, we don't eat.
Right. Exactly.
When we work, we get paid. If we don't work. So, and I was fine for a few weeks with this and the Lord's faithful. I'll be fine financially or whatever, you know, sell the farm. Who cares? I've been poor before. I'll be poor again. But then it starts creeping up on you going, you know, these people are going to lose their little mom and pop restaurants. And selfishly, I wasn't really trying to be a wonderful entrepreneur or philanthropist. I was worried about where I'm going to eat.
Right. How am I going to order?
I don't cook, you know. I went down to our little local mom and pop pizza place, you know, and I said, I got online, you know, and I knew how to do that. And I posted on there going, just want to support our local Vocolo's pizza place. And from between now and 7 p.m., I will buy your family dinner if you, you know, come and support them. You pull your car up. They'll bring it out to your car. Ready, set, go. And I pushed a button. Several thousand dollars. My account says, I love your heart, but let's don't do this.
You're like, let's not do this again. I think you've made your point. You've helped out now.
I have that appearance that everybody thinks I'm just rolling in the dough, but not. And my accountant's going, okay.
That, very nice gesture.
That's exactly right. But all that to say, I do love the fact that there is this apparatus, this computer thing, where couple of pushes of a button and you can interact with people. And mainly because I want them to know that they're not alone in this.
Yeah.
You know, who was it? Ricky Gervais that said not long ago, I really have a hard time feeling sorry for the celebrities that go, oh, we're in this together as they sip a margarita by their swimming pool. No, we're not.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a lot more space to quarantine in than I do. Okay.
I have been humbled. You know, I always used to love telling everybody I live in a penthouse apartment that overlooks the river. Well, it's really just the 10th floor and it's the only high rise building we have. And my town has 2 traffic lights. So, you know, kind of a big deal in my town.
I love this. Well, So where can people go if people want to like check out these things that you're doing?
Send me a dollar. If people want to send me a dollar. Yeah.
Where can people go to find you and find these little, if they want to watch that thing you guys did, the quarantine comics, where can they do that?
That's on my Facebook page, Sean awesome. DePierce. See, that's all I know. Just Google
that's
my name.
That's easy enough. That's easy enough. It's all you got to do. Well, listen, Shonda, this has been a lot of fun. We got to have you back again sometime soon.
I love it. I love it. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. And I do want to tell people out there, I know what it's like to fight the dark. And so keep fighting. Think of little ways. Keep all the lights on at your house. I'm sure my neighbors think Kirk Franklin and his choir lives in my bathroom. I blare Christian music constantly. Turn off the news. Watch PureFlix. Watch something that's uplifting. Fight the fight.
Yeah. Stay calm. Stay in God. Stay in the Word. We've been playing a lot of Christian music here too. It's calming. It's just that message in the background, right? That you need to hear when you want to scream and you're frustrated because you're trying to homeschool kids and you've never done it before, or when you're, you know, alone and you're lonely and you're like, I need to talk to somebody. Having that music on is helpful. I love that advice.
Yeah. And then get on Facebook and talk with somebody. Exactly. I'll be out there somewhere. Thursday nights, I'm always on there.
I love it. Well, I'll be checking it out. Thanks so much.
Thank you, my friend.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to PureFlix.com right now to start your free trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today.
Welcome back to the PureFlix podcast. I am Billy Hollowell, and you heard Shonda Pierce before the commercial there. She is phenomenal, very, very funny, and very candid. I think that is such a rare thing today, and a lot of us, we just crave authenticity. And when you have somebody who's in the public eye, who's a believer, who's a Christian, who is, you know, buttoning up their whole life, well, it's your right to do that. But I think that when we see somebody who's authentic and open, that there's an attraction there to that person. We want to know more about them and understand their life, where they've come through, what they've gone through, not only because we're just trying to pry into other people's lives, but because it gives us inspiration, right? If Shonda Pierce can get through the things she's faced and be open about them, we can do the same thing in our own lives, right? So I admire her for that, and really lots of fun laughs during that conversation. Now, if you want more of Shonda Pierce, over on PureFlix.com, we've actually got a bunch of her little comedy specials over there. And they're not little. They're actually, some of them are 2 hours long. There's some really, really great funny comedies, and you can check those titles out. Titles like This Ain't Prettyville, Peace of My Mind, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid, and lots of others over on PureFlix.com. And I also want you guys to head over to insider.pureflix.com if you're looking to be inspired, right? If you're looking for something uplifting, we have got daily content. I literally write a story a day pretty much on the blog. Sometimes they're interviews with people like Greg Laurie or Shonda. Sometimes they're lists of movies you could check out. Sometimes they're just Bible verse lists to inspire you, tips to save your sanity. I mean, there's so much more. Head over to insider.pureflix.com today, and be sure to tune in next time for another episode of the PureFlix podcast.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix and on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the PureFlix podcast.